Why are you so fearful? Or I could say it this way. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? That's going to mean a lot of different things to people this morning. But I believe God wants to set you free from whatever you're afraid of, whatever that might be. Let's look at the story here in verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly. And they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Who can this be? So let's go back to verse 35. Because here in this verse, what we have is Jesus inviting them to cross over, and it was the Sea of Galilee, to the other side. He was saying, "I want you to come with me. We're going to the other side." Now again, that can mean a lot of different things to different people. I remember before I was a true believer, and I had been in church for many years, a professing Christian, but yet still struggling with addictions and all kinds of things that I just felt like were a part of me that would never go away. But I remember when God finally showed me where he wanted me to go with him. And it was clear. He was basically saying, "Jeff, come with me to the other side. You're still living in Egypt." And that was my first crossing over. I was a professing Christian, but I was still on the side of Egypt, which, you know, for believers, that's a picture of the world, our lives in this world, where we were in bondage, just like the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. But when God was trying to bring them over to the other side, they kept looking back. And that was my problem. You know why? I was afraid. What's it going to mean to follow Jesus with everything? Because I still love my life in this world, and I'm comfortable. I'm used to this. I don't know what that means. That's unknown to me. That's scary. Lose my life? But God, in his faithfulness and in his mercy, because he loves me, because he understands the bondage I'm in, and because he wants to take me and you out of your bondage, to the other side, where his promises dwell, where there's freedom from all those things that enslaved you, that you groaned under, just like the children of Israel, a groaning inside because of the weight of oppression in your life that brought sadness and depression and hopelessness. Why would we be afraid to leave that? Well, inevitably, when God calls us, and listen, God is truthful. He says it like it is. He says, "We're going to go over to the other side." Now, he didn't say this to the disciples, but he says it to us. He says, "If you follow me, it's going to be difficult. He didn't tell the children of Israel that either, but we know it. We know what's going to be involved, and that's what scares us. And that's something God finally made clear to me, that if I was going to follow him, if I really wanted to cross over to the other side where there was freedom, I was going to have to follow him the way he says, I got to follow him. I was going to let go of everything that was familiar to me, everything that at least I could felt like I could control and, you know, had an understanding of, was used to. He was calling me to leave all that behind and really just forsake it all and trust him to take me where he wanted me to take me. And there was a lot of fear involved in that, and I wrestled with that. But God helped me, and he got me to the other side. But you know, it didn't stop there. There were many other crossings in my life, because God has to bring us out and over from many things in our lives. There's a couple of things in my mind this morning for some reason that I'm thinking of, things that cause fear in my life that God was trying to help me out of. The first one was losing my life, just salvation, just finally 100% giving my life to him. That was the first call. The next time was his calling on my life. I was not a people person. I was not one to stand and talk in front of people. If I tried to do that, I would just stutter and stammer and shake. I couldn't get my thoughts together. It was horrible. And when I gave my life to God and we began working at Pure Life, Steve Gallagher, my leader at that time, told me, you're going to go and speak. He had got a speaking engagement at a teen challenge up in Michigan, and he couldn't go. And he says, you're going to go in my place. I was there like a couple of months. I had no training, no nothing. And you're going to fly by yourself. You're going to go to this conference. There's going to be a bunch of leaders there, and you're going to give a talk. Don't worry about it. I'll give you my notes. You'll be fine. Yeah. Jesus was saying, I'm going to take you from where you are to some place that I want to take you that's, to you, scary. I was afraid. I got on the plane. I arrived there. The guy picking me up from Teen Challenge got me and then forgot where he put the car. And it was pouring out. And we couldn't find the car. And we were walking all over the parking lot. And I had to be there in a couple of hours. We finally find the car. We get in it, and it starts having problems. It's not running right. So he says, we got to go back to the Teen Challenge Center and get another vehicle. So we go back to the Teen Challenge Center, and we get lost. And we're in traffic. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm realizing we're not going to make it. And I'm freaking out because they're all waiting for me. We finally get the car. We get there. We're late. There's probably a few hundred people at the conference. There's a guy there that I did his studies in Teen Challenge, and I'm teaching him now. And I remember I got there, and I went into the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and I just burst out crying. And I said, God, I cannot do this. I was shaking. I was crying. Big tough guy. But I had to. I had no other choice. So I walked up. I was so scared. I walked up. I was shaking. I remember. And the minute I stood here, the power of God came upon me. And all of a sudden, I had an inner peace you could not describe. I opened my mouth. I was saying things like, wow, that was good. And I just kept talking, and I would glance down at my notes a couple of times, and I just went on and on. And when I was done, everyone was like, "Wow, that was great!" And when it was all over, it was like a whirlwind. I didn't even know what happened. To this day, every time I got to speak, I go through the same thing: fear, trembling. And you know what I do every time? I remember that time, how Jesus brought me over. And that's how I conquered the fear, because I know he'll be with me. Because he promised me, "I'm going to help you. I'll be with you." So I started speaking. Well, then that evolved into having to travel. And God started using us in a real wonderful way. It was a blessing traveling. We traveled all over the place, and so many people were being affected. And I remember one particular time I got on the plane, and they said over the intercom, "Oh, the doors are sealed." And all of a sudden, I felt like I couldn't breathe. And I used to deal with claustrophobia when I was younger, and I had forgotten all about it. And all of a sudden, that thing came back like a roaring lion. And all I thought was, "I got to get out of here." I panicked, and I got on my knees. Rose remembers, I got on my knees in front of Rose, and I didn't care. I was freaking out. I said, "You got to pray for me. I'm not going to make it." I'm thinking, I'm going to barrel over people, whatever. And I got through it, but then we had the event, and I knew I had to fly back. And I remember walking down the alleyway, and it was getting smaller and smaller and smaller the closer I got to the plane. But God had spoken to me, and he told me basically to meditate on his word. So I had put together a whole bunch of scriptures of promise and all that, and I got in there, the plane, and I was freaking out, and I just started reading the scriptures, started claiming them, started reciting who God is. And finally, he calmed me down. And what I realized was the enemy was trying to put fear in me, because he didn't want me to travel. He didn't want me going here and there, speaking to people. And I had to determine, I am not going to let this stop. And to this day, I still deal with that. And I have to battle through it every time I get on a plane. But what am I going to say? "No, Lord, I'm not going over the other side." But you know what? He gets me over every time. So I understand a little bit about fear, is what I'm saying this morning. Okay? What is it for you right now in your life? Jesus is calling you. He's saying, "It's time. Let's go to the other side." For some of you, it's what I shared initially for myself. He's been pressing you. It's time to follow me. It's time to forsake your life. It's time to surrender everything to me and follow me. There's some in here this morning, you're afraid of that. But you know God's telling you, "Let's go. It's time to go to the other side." For others of you, you've done that part, but now he's saying, "I want to take you over into your calling." You've been sitting on this side for a long time. You've been comfortable sitting in a pew, but it's time to go over to the other side, because I want to use your life. I have a calling on your life. But you keep saying, "I can't. I'm afraid." You don't understand. You're afraid. But Jesus is still calling you. It's time to come over to the other side. You know why? There's people over there that need our help. We'll see one that Jesus ran into. The demoniac. He was on the other side. The man no one could tame or control. He was on the other side where they were going. There's people on the other side God wants to use your life for. And you're sitting on the shore saying, I can't. I don't like boats. I can't swim. But Jesus is saying, come. Come on, we're going to the other side. It goes on here in verse 36. It says, now when they had left the multitude, in other words, it's time to leave the crowd and to stop following the crowd. Jesus said, few respond to the call. So you're either going to go along with the crowd or you're going to do like them. They left the multitude because it was a personal call for those that were to go with him. It says they left the multitude. And they took him along in the boat as he was. And what that meant basically was he was preaching in the boat. And they didn't stop to get provisions or nothing. They just got in the boat and they took him as he was, standing there preaching out of the boat, because actually there was good acoustics when you spoke over the water. That's why Jesus would do that. They would put him in a boat, put him out a little bit, and then he would speak to the crowd, and it was good acoustics. So they just got in the boat, didn't make no provisions for the trip, and they took off. And then verse 37 says, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, again, Jesus never said it would be smooth sailing, did he? I mean, if we read the Bible, does he promise us a nice placid sea? No, he's straight with us, right? No, it's going to be hard. I love one definition I read of faith. And it was basically, pictured us like little boats. And it was basically saying, God wants to load your boat with precious silver and gold and things that he can send, over the ocean to people that need it. But our problem is we're like little dinghies that are tied up to the dock, and we'll venture out in the harbor a little bit. But, once you get past the harbor, you start getting near the ocean, it changes a little. I don't know if any of you have ever done that. We're from Long Island, but it's okay in the harbor. But once you get past the breakers, man, it's a little different. If you're in a little boat, it's pretty scary. I went out fishing one time on a 40-foot boat, and we got stuck in some 20-foot swells at night, and I didn't know the Lord. I didn't think we were going to make it back. It's scary when you see black water as you go down in the swell, and all you see is a wall of water around you, and the boat's rocking, and that's why I don't go on boats anymore. Not little boats like that, anyway. He never said it would be smooth, but people, he did say he would be with us in the boat. He was in the boat, right? Okay. He was there. There's a story in Exodus. I was actually reading it this morning. In Exodus 33, it's when God was renewing his covenant, and he was taking the children of Israel over into the promised land. And Moses is basically telling the Lord, we'll look at it here in verse 12, Exodus 33, verse 12. It says that Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. In other words, Lord, you're telling me to go on this journey. You're telling me to cross over, but who's going with me? You have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I might know you, that I might find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. In other words, God, this is your business. I'm doing this for you. Like he needed to remind God of that. And then he said, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then he said, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't even bring us up from here. And that's been my prayer so many times. God, if you're not in this, don't even let me go 1 foot forward. But If God is calling you, you know He's calling you. Salvation is one thing, that's a given. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to be right there in the boat with you. If He's calling you to do something, He's going to be right there in the boat with you. He's going to make sure you get to the other side. He's promised you that. There's such a wonderful promise in Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. I had to write all these down this morning, so just bear with me. Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 4. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's God's promise to you. You're not going to drown. It says in verse 37, the boat was already filling. I always had a picture of this scene in my mind. I pictured this boat with all these disciples with the water up to their nose going across the lake. The boat was filling with water. Does it feel like that sometimes? Is your boat filling with water? That can be scary. You know what's funny though? When I went to Israel finally and I saw the Sea of Galilee, I was like, dude, what was the problem? It's like a lake. You know, we hear Sea of Galilee. It's not that big. You can see the other side. But, you know, they were in little boats, so we'll give them that. They didn't have big fishing boats. But sometimes our fear is not justified. And a lot of times it isn't fear. It's not justified. It was filling. But Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a pillow. Again, imagine that in your mind's eye. How do you do that? How do you sleep in a little boat in the middle of a storm with water filling the boat? Do you know God wants to get us to the place where we can do that? He had perfect rest and trust in the Father and that He was in His will. And He was in perfect control of everything. He understood that. So many times we don't understand that God really is in control. And they said to Him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Oh, He cares. He cares. You know what our problem is? Unbelief. We don't believe Him. We really don't believe that He's with us, that He's going to help us, and that He really is enough for us on the journey. Because a lot of times when He's there, we say, where are you, Lord? What are you doing? Don't you see I'm drowning? Listen, I've been there many times in my walk with the Lord. Many, many times. God, where are you? God, don't you see? He sees. He knows exactly what He's doing. You know, God's never really sleeping. I don't know what you read. I'm going to read Psalm 46, which kind of says the same thing. Psalm 46. You guys might want to write these scriptures down just so you have them. Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then it says, Selah. In other words, think about that. Meditate on that. Mountains being cast into the sea, waters roaring, mountains shaking. But God is there and we will not fear. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, so she shall not be moved. God is in the midst of your life. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. You see, that's the problem sometimes. It doesn't happen when we want it. But it comes. Just at the right time, when God knows you've learned what He wants you to learn in the midst of the trial. Just at the break of dawn. The nations raved, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. You get anxious and fearful when you read the news and you see the nations roaring, rumors of wars. Are you nervous about that? He utters His voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. Think about that. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about that. Come! Behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I think sometimes our problem is we don't know how to be still. We're going, 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 and we're never still enough to know who God is. Meditate, take the time to get over His Word. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, by taking up the Word of God into your thoughts and into your mind. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Don't worry about what you see happening in the world. Don't worry about your life. God is in control. God is over the heavens. God is exalted among the nations. God will be exalted in the earth. His kingdom is coming to the earth. He's going to establish His kingdom in the earth. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious about what you see out there. Don't worry about your life. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about that. Meditate on that. And then Isaiah that I read to you. Okay, verse 39 says, He arose and He rebuked the wind and He said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And all I can say to you is this. God is in control. God is in control. You're not going to spiral out of control or something if you follow Him. Your boat's not going to sink. You're not going to be overcome by the trials and the things of life, by fear. If God is with you, those things will not overtake you. It might feel like it at times, but they won't. That's the promise we have in Scripture. I just want to tell you, in 26 years, God has never let me down. And there's been times I have felt like I was on the precipice of just going over, and there was, I was done. And God was there at the last minute, the last second. I got you. He has literally held me in his hand and carried me through all these years. It's been amazing. And I still get scared. I went in for a colonoscopy Friday and an upper thing. And for some reason, I got it in my head I was going to die in the procedure. I told Rose afterwards. She was like, great, thanks. But there were a couple of things that happened. I don't know where it came from. And then the doctor comes in before the procedure, and he's like this, the best bedside manner doctor you could ever imagine. Guy is just full of joy. And he came in, how are you guys? And he's talking about our travels, and he's telling me I should take her time off with her and getting on me about that, whatever. And then he looks at me all serious. He says, because you know why? I just had a friend, 50 years old. He had an aneurysm, and it's all over with. He goes, you never know. And he just stares at me, and I'm like, dude, this is not the thing to tell me before I'm going in here. And it was totally out of character for him. Totally. So I'm thinking, I'm going to die. God's just, he's preparing me. It's all right. You know, and I went in there, and I came out, and I was all messed up. I aspirated, and I was having a hard time breathing. I was coughing. I had all this stuff in me. And Rose was like, what the world happened to you? And then he started asking Rose, does he have sleep apnea? No. You sure? You sure? So obviously I stopped breathing on the table. And I thought about it afterwards, and I was like, wow. And the enemy was trying to put that fear in me. But, you know, I had to have it done. What am I going to do? Not go to the doctor? No, I have to trust God. And I told her, listen, when my time's up, God's going to say so. And that's, I just have to remind myself, Lord, my steps are ordered by you. If you got more for us to do, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die until he says so. Doesn't matter what someone tries to speak to me or whatever. And I can't let that control me. So I'm here today. I didn't die. I'm going to die one day. It's going to happen. But I'm not supposed to be afraid of that. We're not supposed to be. That's just another crossing over. It's a glorious crossing over. That's the final crossing over into bliss for all eternity if you know God. It's not good if you don't. If you haven't given your life to God, you don't want to cross over the river of death. There was a great calm. So God was in control. He's in control. And then he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? There's people in this room, you have heard the truth for years. You know the truth. You know, a lot of you, what the Word of God says about things. God has shown himself to you in different ways throughout your life, but you have somehow got stuck on the shore because you're afraid to cross over into the next phase, whatever that is for you this morning. For some of you, it's salvation. For others, he's wanting to bring you into another level in your walk with him. And for a lot of you, it's a calling on your life. He wants to use you. And you're afraid. He's saying it's time to cross over. We can't stay here on this side forever. I want to take you somewhere. I'm taking you on a journey. All my people go on a journey with me. For some it's surrender. For some it's death. For some it's finance. For some it's the unknown. What are you afraid of today? What are you fearful of? Moses prayed in that chapter we looked at. And he basically, after he said, "Lord, I'm not going if you don't go," you know what he asked God? "I need to see you. I want to see your glory." And God said, "Okay, I'll tell you what, Moses. You stand behind that rock, and I'm going to pass by, but I'm just going to let you see the back of me. Because if you see me, you'll just die." Just think about who God is. That he has to hide Moses behind a rock and pass by him and just let him get a glimpse of his back. And then he proclaimed to Moses who he is. Merciful, long-suffering, you know, just goes on and on, proclaiming who God is to Moses. He needed that, maybe. "I know you're going with me, Lord, but I gotta see you." Some of you need to see him as he really is. You need to let him show you who he is. He wants to. He's revealed himself to us. We don't have to hide behind a rock. It's all in here. You know that. He tells us who he is in here. There's description after description after description of who God is. That's what helps me when I'm in fear. I remind myself who he is. I think back over the many times in my life, he has shown me who he is by helping me, like I told you earlier, in different situations in my life. "Yes, Lord, I remember. You're able to do above and beyond what I can think and imagine," because that's usually what he does. It says, they feared exceedingly. They said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him?" I don't know about you, but I need to see God in that way again. I lose sight of who he is. There's a story after this that I'm just going to finish with. It's about a demon-possessed man who was basically cast out of society because they couldn't control him. He was totally out of his mind. Sometimes we see people like that here. I see them walk by my counseling center, and there's something in us that says, nope, that one's too far gone. What was it like when they got to the side and they saw this guy? He's naked. Okay, he's naked, he's running around, he's cutting himself with rocks, foaming at the mouth. What do you do with that guy? Hand him a track? Really, what do you do with that guy? What do you do with him? How would you minister to him? Jesus was not fazed at all. He just calmly walked up because he has full authority. He spoke to the legion of demons that were in this. There was a legion of demons inside of this guy. And he basically said, "Get out of him." And he sent him into a herd of pigs, and the pigs all stormed down the seashore and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. We went by that spot there. And you can see where it happened. It really happened. And then the whole town was in an uproar, you know, because that was their livelihood. And they were like, "Get out of here! We need a God like that here in our midst, out here in these streets. But we got to get over our fears, people. What has you stuck today? Why are you sitting on the shore when you know God is calling you to go to the other side? What is holding you back? Why are you so afraid? It's simple. What I've learned in 26 years of walking with the Lord is when I'm afraid, fix my eyes on Jesus, Just get them off the winds, the waves, all the stuff that's causing fear in you. And get your eyes on Jesus and simply obey him. And if you will obey him, if you will just get your foot in the boat, you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden you're going to be on the other side. And you're not even going to know how you got there. And you'll give God all the glory. But you got to get in the boat. It's time, people. For some of you. Maybe for all of us. It's time to get in the boat and go over to the other side. It's time to stop letting fear control us. When I came in this morning, it was like one thing after another. And I was getting all fearful. I was like, what is this? Intimidated. Almost like, you're not going to do this today. And I've learned, no, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to exalt God in this place. I'm going to let the devil know who he is. I'm going to remind him of who God is. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to trust God, even though I don't know what I'm doing. And I had to take a step of faith today. I was afraid. I was afraid to speak what I knew God was telling me. And I finally said, God, I'm sitting in that chair, and if I don't hear from you, we're just going to sit here quiet all day. But you got to step out. And then he brings you over. So what is it today? What are you afraid of? Lord, I just pray right now that you would take control of fear in this room. I pray you would expose it for what it is. I pray the Holy Spirit would help those here that are in fear, that are stuck, that are afraid about where you want to take them. God, I pray you will help them right now, Lord. Step into the boat, to know that you're with them, to know it's you calling them. It's you, Lord. You're not going to leave them. You're not going to forsake them. You'll get them to the other side, even though it'll be rough at times, even though it might feel like they're not going to make it, Lord. You have promised to never leave them or forsake them, Lord. So, God, I'm asking now for you to help those that are stuck. They're debilitated by fear. God, I pray right now you would break the power of that over their life today. You will help them to step out in faith this morning and to believe you and to trust you. Whatever that thing might be that's keeping them back from crossing over to the other side.